First of all, thank you very much for this kind invitation to respond. During my career, I've had the pleasure of working in academia and also in small biotech and working alongside a company Greg co-founded called Amantis, and now at a pharmaceutical company, and I really welcome this opportunity to give my perspective. We've heard about the opportunities that monoclonals have dramatically impacted a large number of diseases, and really the transformational benefit they brought to the patients. As Greg explained, these are because these are potent and powerful medicines, specific for the targets they're after, and we understand a great deal about them now. But equally, the hurdles are high as we move forward. We are dealing with intricate, large structures made, of course, by engineered cells in large fermentation tanks. And there is a great deal of complexity. And I thought I may exemplify that by the size of the filing, just on the manufacturing that occurs when we take something forward for registration and market approval. When we take one of those chemical entities forward, I would have a file about this big. And when we come with a monoclonal antibody, actually, even if I put it on the ground, it would be coming up to about here. And that shows the difference in terms of complexity about what we're trying to do. Moreover, as I'm sure you're very aware, drug discovery and making new medicines is extremely expensive and probably upwards now of about £1 billion per drug. And although monoclonal antibodies have a higher chance of success as they move through clinical progression than the small molecules, there are more failures than successes, and the healthcare budgets, of course, are under intense pressure. And so, for where I'm working today, the pharmaceutical company working in isolation is a failed model and one that we should not go forward with. Certainly very much past its cell die date. It's simply untenable to do this alone, and that's why I think you've seen a focus from the pharmaceutical industry or sector for externalization. And really, I think we should look for synergies now between academia and what we may want to call these small to medium-sized biotech companies and large pharmaceuticals. And I think there were three points that I wanted to make about how we could make this a creative and vibrant interaction or synergy. First of all, pharmaceutical companies collaborate with medium-sized biotechnology companies and academia regularly and successfully. And I think we're very familiar with a shared risk and reward in that regard, particularly when we're working with small companies. But now I think actually it's great that we're seeing that from the academic sector as well and really sort of promoting this shared risk as we move forward in drug discovery. Secondly, I think pharmaceutical companies have a remit or a duty actually to promote a vibrant sector. Whether this is from companies such as AstraZeneca giving access, free access to 32 of their experimental medicines for academics to research on, or whether this is through vectors such as open innovation, and a local example to me would be the creation of the Stevenage Catalyst, where GSK has donated land and we have the Wellcome Trust and BIS also promoting a catalyst building, where independent companies will come in and we're looking to create success almost on our doorstep. We in the pharmaceutical companies are very happy to share our expertise. We're happy to share our spare equipment capacity. And the only return I think we're looking for is a vibrant biotechnology sector. Greg has shown very nicely and exemplified how actually intellectual property can truly fund innovation going forward. And I believe actually now we can create a healthy balance between creating IP and at the same time being more open as a sector with our assets and our libraries for biotech. And finally, the third point I wanted to make was the human scale. While we all work on a world stage, and companies such as GSK look for business and opportunities wherever they may be in the world, I'm also struck by the slide which was shown by Greg where the UK flag or British flag was up there, and it's clear how much the UK has contributed to this field. And of course, the UK punches well above its weight in terms of innovation. I think the question is, how do we exploit this? And I believe there's a human benefit where clusters of academics and biotech companies and pharma are in close proximity. And when I say close proximity, I think from a human perspective, that means a commutable basis on a regular sort of daily basis. So whether it's Cambridge, Oxford and London, or whether it's the northwest area of England, or whether it's clusters in Scotland, it strikes me that not only do you create critical mass for finance and intellectual property lawyers, but you also create a more human-scaled approach to bring those individuals together to create more. Moreover, I think this gives an opportunity for individuals and scientists and clinicians to move from one sector to another without uprooting their personal lives. And I think this can only be to our joint benefit. Cambridge is probably the biggest concentration of biotechnology companies in Europe. And some of that is undoubtedly due to the contribution of monoclonal antibody technologies. And I believe, actually, this has also contributed to the success of monoclonal antibodies. Monoclonal antibody technology wave has been highly impressive, but clearly further innovation will come along to improve the benefits to patients. We're clearly in a world stage, and although countries such as China are making great progress and racing forwards in the science arena, I see positive signs in the UK. I think we've undoubtedly heard from one of our great innovators and, dare I say, entrepreneurs this evening. I see great signs from the MRC really open for doing business, and I see pharmaceutical companies really looking to encourage this external innovation. It's also pleasing to see the UK government really seriously looking at what can be done to strengthen this sector. Either with idea funds or with tax breaks for companies in the UK. I absolutely believe there is a need for a strong biotechnology sector in the UK. I believe this is a priority for all of us and one we should all play our part in delivering. Thank you very much.